stuff that we can pull from the story of Joseph. And you know, it was hard for me to share the story without sharing the whole thing. You know, whenever I think of the story of Joseph, you know, I always think of the whole story. It's hard to share it in pieces like that because it's so incredible. So I did my best to do that, but I didn't accomplish it. So we had the latter end of the story, and then we go into into Exodus. Let me get started here. So we come now to the dramatic climax of the story of Joseph. Without question, this story is one of the most exciting, intense, and beautifully constructed narratives in all of the scriptures. In this last and greatest episode, Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers. He is reunited with his father, Jacob, and provides a temporary home for his family in Egypt to save them from the terrible famine. I picked up a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and whenever Sister Linda shared what she shared earlier, it reminded me of that. Anyway, I picked him up, and we were talking, and he said, you know, Brother Herman, they got folks calling your church a cult. And I didn't hear him, so I said, well, calling us what? He said, a cult. And I said, oh. He said, well, you know something? He said, I told him that the church is not a cult. That's the church of God. And he said, we left for that day. But anyway, this story, you know, Joseph went through a lot of persecution. There was a lot of things done to him, but yet he didn't lose focus of the dream. You know, and everyone, God has given every one of us a dream and a vision. And the enemy's plan is to have us lose focus of that. And if we're not careful, we will. But that's what it reminded me of, because with Joseph, it started with a dream. And then it went from a dream that he shared with his dad and his brothers to jealousy and envy. And that's another thing that we have to be careful for. And that's jealousy and envy, because it's dangerous. Because what happens is it's a grudge. You know, we'll help, you know, after Joseph shared that dream with his brothers, they had a grudge against that fella. So much so that they wanted him dead. So we have to be careful that we don't get jealous. Because what jealousy does is, one of the things it does is we want to keep up with the Joneses. You know, we want to have what they have. Or on a spiritual level, we want to have what they have. But why have what somebody else has whenever God gives us our own gift, our own anointing? So we don't need what everybody else has. We just need what God has for us. And one of the things about forgiveness and jealousy, if it's in your heart and you have a grudge in your heart, there's no true repentance. We can't repent with that stuff in our heart. Because God won't allow, we can't, because we're jealous and we have a grudge against somebody. This is what the scripture says in Matthew 6:14. He says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So holding a grudge is not being forgiven. And it reminded me of this story. I know my parents shared it with me because he worked in Africa, but I think I read it in a book. Anyway, it was about a monkey trap. And what they would do, they would go out in the jungle and they would build these traps with a banana in it. And a banana was sitting in there. It was a box attached to a tree or whatever. And they made the hole to get to the banana just big enough where you can fit your hand through it, where the monkey could fit his hand. But once he clutches his fist, he can't pull it out. But that's what it reminded me of, because the monkey would go there, and he would stick his hand in there and grab the banana and clutch it, and he couldn't get it out, but he was so set on this banana that the folks who set the trap would just go over there and snatch him up, and it's over with, you know? And that's what it reminded me of, a grudge, you know? And the thing about a grudge is the longer you keep it, the tighter the grip gets. It gets tighter and tighter, and it's harder to let go. So we need to be careful, and that's what happened to Joseph's brothers. They couldn't let go. So much so that they wanted him dead. So I want to talk about the 11 brothers of Joseph. How did they feel about what happened? You know, and this is after they came to Egypt for the first time. But even before that, you know, after they done, didn't they feel any remorse for what they did? So just maybe Joseph was waiting to see any kind of remorse. Because, you know, the first time they came, Joseph knew who they were. He could have took them in right away. And he could have said, go get Dad. I'm ready to see him. But he didn't. He didn't. So maybe Joseph was waiting to see if any kind of remorse or repentance would come from his brothers. This could be the reason why he devised tests that he carried out on them. He wanted to find out how they felt about his departure and to see if there was any repentance or remorse. You know, because remember the test that he gave them, that they went through whenever they came and they went back to Egypt. Whenever they got there, they found their money and the money that they used to pay for the grain. It was back in their bag. And then the second one was he had one of the servants put his silver cup in Benjamin's bag. So that was a test. You know, there's a lot of things in Joseph's story that parallels with Christ, a lot. And you know, so I thought about this. You know, Joseph was giving them time to repent. Well, how much time did the Father give us to repent? And He's still giving us time to repent. Still giving it to us. In chapter 42, verse 21, they said to one another, "Truly we are guilty concerning our brother." So that was a sign of repentance. Because whenever we come to Yeshua, how do we have to come? We come with a repentant heart. We have to come with a repentant heart. Admitting our guilt. Again, they said, "Truly, we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." Reuben answered them, saying, "Didn't I tell you, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Now comes the reckoning for his blood." They did not know, however, that Joseph understood, for there was an interpreter between them. So Reuben told him, "Don't do this. I'm telling you, don't do it." How many times the Father tells us, "Don't do it. I'm telling you." But There's times we don't listen. There's times we do. Hopefully the times we do outweigh the times that we don't. We do not know exactly how all of them felt, but we are provided with a glimpse of some of their emotions. The first indication of how they felt is in 45:3. When Joseph first reveals his identity to them, the text says, "But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence." Why were they so afraid? We know that answer. I'm going to read it anyway. Here was Joseph, a man who had just about all the power of Egypt at his disposal. Here were they, guilty of attempting to murder their brother out of jealous anger. Their brother out of jealous anger. What were they to expect? They did not know Joseph's heart. Consequently, from their standpoint, they had every reason to be frightened of him. They were terrified. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they didn't know Joseph's heart. Joseph knew what was going on. And, well, we'll just keep reading and we'll get to it. So he's second in command. Joseph didn't have to do any of what he did. He could have said, "Do you remember what y'all did me? Do you remember? You sold me. You sold me out, matter of fact. And tell you what, give me my brother Benjamin and put him on side of me, and all these other clowns, you can lock them up. Throw them in a dungeon where I was at. And now I want my servants to go get my dad. I want my daddy back. Because I miss him." But he didn't. Joseph didn't do that. But he could have. And by all accounts, it would have seemed right. Because they sold him out. And there's times where I know I feel like I've been sold out. You know, if I got a brother or sister in Christ and we work in hand serving God, and then all of a sudden they're gone, to me it feels like a sellout. Just saying, I'm honest. It feels like I've been sold out. But Joseph remembered the dream. He remembered the dream. And, you know, one of the things that we don't like is we don't like persecution. We don't like going through circumstances. But you know something? In Matthew 4:1, he said, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." He was led into temptation. And we get all bent out of shape whenever we're tempted. Maybe because we realize we're not as strong as we should be. But Jesus was led to temptation. So we're going to be led into temptation. Because sometimes we need it. We need to know where we stand with the Father. But it's incredible to me that Joseph, he wasn't upset. You know, there's only one time in a story where he brings it up. Only one time. It's whenever he was in prison. And he gave the interpretation to the guy. Which one was it he gave the good interpretation to? The cupbearer. And after he interpreted the dream, he told the cupbearer, he said, Tell Pharaoh, tell the king that I don't belong here. I've been sold. My brother sold me out, and I don't belong here. That's the only time he brought it up. So you know he thought about it, no doubt about it, but it didn't let him affect God's plan for his life. But how many times, think about it, how many times does it affect our life personally? All the stuff that we go through, you know? And one of the things we have to be careful of that the stuff is not self-inflicted. I think about it all the time. self-inflicted. Look, it's tough enough following God and staying straight. But whenever we add to it ourselves, it makes it even tougher. And one of the things we should be, as believers, we should be our worst critic by far. We should be our worst critic by far. We should see more about what's going on in us than anybody. But how many times did I know in my past that God had to send somebody to me to tell me? Why? It should have never been that way because I wasn't my worst critic. Joseph was. He watched. And he listened. And he remembered the dream. He remembered. Right from the beginning of their renewed relationship, somehow Joseph knew that if there was going to be a genuinely revived relationship between him and his brothers, it must be based on complete honesty. Accordingly, Joseph gently and kindly reminded them what they had done to him. He did not minimize their wrong. Instead, he spoke of it honestly before them. You know, that's something that's missing. You know, me and brother, everybody knows this, but me and brother Chad had issues. But I can tell you one thing we did is we spoke about it. We didn't try to hide anything from each other. We was honest with each other. And that's what he did with his brothers. He was honest with them. He said, look, you sold me. You know, I understand this. You sold me, and I want you to understand what you did. But you have to talk about it. You know, that was really the first time I ever witnessed anything like that, to be honest with you, as long as I've been going to church. With somebody reconciling like that. First time I've ever witnessed that. I've never heard of anybody really having issues in a church and they reconcile and everything's good. I've just never seen it. You know, I've seen stuff happen in a church and that was it. It was gone. But we sat down. We tried to do it on our own and never would work out. But once it was time, we sat down and we talked and we was honest with each other. And it worked. It works. Because if you don't, stuff's going to pop up again because you're going to start assuming things. How many times we assume stuff? Pastor Shorten says it all the time. Don't assume. Assumption will get you in trouble. And that's what happens. You know, you don't talk about it. You come together. I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, too. You go your separate, then you start assuming things. So one of the parallels is in this story that connects the Brit Hadashah and the Torah is Joseph went before his family and the people to eventually save them for salvation. And Yeshua did the same thing for us. Same thing. And look, if we're born again, if we're born again, no doubt about it, we went before somebody. And family for sure. We went before them. And there's a reason why God picked us. Just like he picked Joe, he picked the other ones. But we can't forget the dream. We can't forget the vision. But he chose us to go before family members for one day. We can't save them, but we can connect them to the Messiah. Messiah will save them. And look, there's folks out there that we know that said things about us. There's folks that no longer come here. But they may show up at our doorstep on Thursday night. Well, I'm just going to say this. What we don't want to say is, I knew you would get it at some point. I knew you would come around. That's not what we want to say. We want to invite them in to Bible study. That's what we want to do. Because I can tell you, if it was friction between the two, by saying that, you kind of exempting yourself from any kind of lesson you got out of it. Because look, we both, me and Brother Chad, we both got a good lesson out of it. Both of us, a good lesson. So whenever something like that happens with individuals, there's a lesson to learn. It's not for nothing. There's a lesson to learn out of it. So in 45 verse 4, it says, then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. He's reminding them. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God set before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by great deliverance. We see that throughout the Torah in the Old Testament. I mean, he did it with, he's going to do it again right after this, taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. He does it. And then in the book of Esther, it's the same thing. He's preserving his people. Then he said to his brothers, please come closer. And that reminded me of the Father. That's what he wants. He's constantly telling us, please come closer. Come closer. So that's the furthest I got on it. But anyway. This was an incredible Torah portion. The story of Joseph is, man, so much stuff you can get out of there. It's incredible. And, I touched on some things I didn't have in here. And, because look, God knows what we need, when we need it. He knows how we need it. And I'm thankful for that. Because look, on my best day, I don't have a clue. I just think I do. But don't let me fool you. I don't. I don't know. But he knows. That's why we just have to keep following Yeshua. And look, folks are going to say stuff. It's going to continue. But if we keep doing what we're doing, folks is going to come. The ones that are supposed to be here at Faith Temple Ministries, in our homes for these bodies, they're going to come. We just have to keep doing our part and let not all of that noise get to us. Just like Joseph did. We have to remember the dream. Remember the promises. Remember the vision that God's given us. And people's going to come. Well, that's all I had.
I just want to tell folks that are here.